For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am sitting across the table from my mother, Barb. And we're so excited to be chatting with you all again this week, talking about life's most interesting and meaningful topics. And there are lots of them, aren't there, Mom?
There sure are. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mother. How you doing?
I'm good. I have a little bit of a raspy voice today.
You sure do.
It's so interesting too, because we've been talking about it and I'm not sick.
No.
I think it has a little bit to do with allergies that I may have to go check that out. But I also think I have laryngitis because I've been doing so much nonstop talking, which is not in my realm of
being. Do you get laryngitis from talking? I thought laryngitis was like a virus or something.
I don't even know. I didn't Google it. I have no idea. But anyway.
In fairness to you though, you have been doing a lot of talking, which means why not talk some more into a microphone?
It's true.
For you all.
You know, I love it so much. And we've been doing so much planning and all the things. So anyway, if you all will bear with me, you know, I know that it may sound a little bit weird.
I love it. I love the raspy voice for you. Honestly.
Well, good.
So,
the topic today is pretty, I feel like it's kind of, not only we say this often, but not only is it up for so many people.
Yeah.
Timely. I think it's really, really timely for our times.
Timely for our times.
Yeah, it's really timely. I know that it has taken my practice, you know, to really be vigilant and to really be mindful of the things that I practice and taking the pause and trying to give myself extra space.
Yeah.
You know, in life, it's really, I've been really thoughtful on that because it's been very necessary.
You've been working your practice hard during these first. Well, I guess it's wild. I mean, I do think we say this every year, but this year it felt extreme. January felt like an entire year. And it's wild that we only are in the second month of 2025, but so much has happened. So much happened in January. A lot of emotions, a lot of highs and lows. And it's funny, before we hit record of this episode, I was thinking about the episode that we recorded around the holidays before the new year and just like, oh, so excited. It's going to be a great year and so much hope and optimism. And I don't necessarily that hope and well, how should I say this? I still have hope and faith for whatever is to come, because I think we have to have it to some degree, but I don't think I'm sharing anything new with you all or with you, Mom, that this has been a rough start to a year in all facets.
No matter where you live, no matter what country you live in, no matter where you are in the world, it's been difficult. And I think it's why, you know, one of the episodes around the holidays, I talked a lot about why January, to me, I really feel like we need a transition month. And I talked about January being the transition month.
For sure.
And so New Year feels to me like February. So
Happy New Year, all.
Well, I think too, today we're going to talk about how we handle difficult people. So many messages we're getting about what do we do? You know, what do we do when someone's so rude? I mean, I had someone DM me the other day and said, I just can't believe it. I walked into a shop and someone literally just walked in front of me and let the door slam in my face. And I guess it was a heavy door. And she was just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And she went on to say in the message that she just had never seen or felt so much energy of,
apathy?
I don't know, not apathy, no, frustration, anger, irritation, impatience. That's what I'm feeling so much from the energy around me when I go out and for myself. And that's why I really make it a practice as best I am able, you know, every single day to give myself wiggle room, to give myself breathing room, you know, between things and enough time to get to the place where I need to go. Because if we don't give ourselves enough time, which we'll talk about some of these practices that we use for how to handle difficult people. For me, the stress is high, the impatience is high, everything is high. And so I get more aggravated when someone would slam a door in my face, let's just say.
Well, but that's also extremely
rude. It is. But you know what? It's up to us to try to handle it because I want to make sure that my nervous system isn't 24/7 out of whack. I really want to regulate and calm my nervous system and not let it get out of control. So I think in talking about that today, this subject, how can we start to handle difficult people or really trying hard situations and keep ourselves in check or keep ourselves in place or not allow, you know, you see that quote a lot, never let the external world steal your peace. You know, you use your power from within. So I'm actually looking forward. I do say this every week, but I'm actually looking forward to this episode is how can we talk together about what are some of the tips that we have? What are some of the takeaways that we're going to give that I've been using nonstop? I'm grateful that I have this toolkit, like this emotional health toolkit is what I feel like I have. And so every moment it feels like we have to be ready to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves because I really feel like one of the biggest acts, I never want to say the biggest, but a great form of self-care is giving ourselves the opportunity to take space or to at least be in touch with what's happening and to give ourselves extra room. So I think it's important.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this year has, like we've said, has brought up a lot and it's only been a few weeks, 2025, and we're in difficult times, which we have been. And it almost seems like listening to you tell that story from the DM that you got really, you know, broke my heart a little bit because it's been feeling like to me, and that example really highlights it, that it's almost as if we're living under a new set of rules of like social constructs of like what is how we treat each other. You know, I feel like for so long we all had that notion ingrained in our beings of like being kind to others and, you know, holding the door open or being conscientious of how we treat other people, you know, treat others as you would like to be treated. And I don't know if it's been since the pandemic, all the stuff that happened and lockdowns and trauma and tragedy and, you know, just all of the challenges that we've been facing over the past decade, I guess. I don't know. It just feels different. The vibe is different out there with people. Like people are more impatient, more rushed, like more on edge. I say this to you all the time in our town. It often feels like, you know, you step outside to go somewhere and just like every person is one minor inconvenience away from going off on you. And you don't know if you're going to be, you know, get the brunt of that in that day, which is like you were saying, like the fight or flight or having your that's the government.
Regulation.
Having your nervous system just shot because you're always on edge. And I just think it's important to state that because I think it's just a new reality that we're facing. And yeah, we've had difficult times throughout history. We've had challenges and we know how to get through things, but I do think we're dealing with a unique set of circumstances at a unique time. And a lot of us are kind of left feeling like, I don't know how to handle this. I used to know how to handle people in the old way. This new way seems different to me and I feel a little out of sorts. And I think that's why we wanted to dive into this topic of managing people when they're mean or difficult or obstinate or even just nasty to you with a difference of opinion. You know, it feels like we're at an all-time high of differences of opinions. Like this has been said often, often, often for many, many years, but it feels true right now that the division is at an all-time high. How do we bridge that? I don't think we can't not talk to those people. I mean, we're going to have to engage with those people who, you know, have differences of opinions or who are snarky with us. So like, I'm excited about this conversation, Mom, because what do we do? What are the new tools that we can bring into this era that feels so isolating and confusing? Because like you always say, we're not at the victims or we don't have to live at the mercy of the external world, but it kind of feels like that right now. So how can we start to take our power back?
Well, I think too, Michelle, you said it, you kind of touched on it a little bit, and I'll expand just for a second that, you know, there's so much tragedy around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in the United States. So there's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of environmental tragedy. There's a lot of emotional tragedy. There's just a lot. There's economic tragedy. There is so much tragedy and people are suffering. I feel, it almost feels like that suffering is at an all-time high. And
we're aware of it.
And we're aware of it because we're 24/7 news cycle. We're 24/7 social media, all of the things. We are constantly being bombarded with what is happening every moment of every day. And so that's why I feel like the first tip or the first takeaway or tool in this emotional toolkit, I feel like that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, because it's certainly what I feel like I'm arming myself with. I walk around, I think sometimes an internal emotional toolkit. The first tip would be, we can't really take any of this stuff personally, and we do, because we're all in the same boat. And that's why I started this off by saying that if I don't give myself enough time to get places and I'm running late, or I feel like we live on the other side of a bridge, I feel like I'm going to hit the bridge, which you all have heard about during some of the episodes, I feel more stress. I feel less patience. My nervous system starts to go out of whack. So we all get to this place in whatever varying degrees. And I believe it's because the external world right now is so heavy. For me, it just feels heavy with all of the tragedies, the environmental, as I said, all the things that I just mentioned. So what can we do? And I think the first thing for me is I have to remember that what other people are saying and doing has nothing to do with me and everything to do with where they're coming from. So if I'm impatient with someone because I didn't get my coffee on time or whatever it is, it's not because of them that I'm impatient. It's because of me. I am somehow worked up that I'm going to be late, or I shouldn't have to wait. You know, we sometimes get very entitled, and how dare,
shop should run better than this.
Yeah. How dares an establishment not have my coffee ready? Whatever it is, we have to really try to regulate ourselves and like, okay, what can I do at the bare minimum to try to protect myself? And I don't mean protect yourself and go hide into a hole somewhere. I mean, what kind of a shield kind of do, like an invisible shield. So the first thing that I do, first thing was to give myself space to really, if I have to be somewhere at 10:30, I want to try to make sure I get there at 10:20. If I have to be at the airport because my flight boards,
that's your cushion.
It is my cushion.
We call it her cushion.
I call it my cushion. If my flight boards at, you know, 4:50, I want to be there at 3:50. You know, I'm giving myself a lot of extra space today because things just seem to be happening out of the ordinary. And maybe it's always been this way, and we're just all kind of heightened to this sense of energy that's so frenetic, but it is the way that it is. And I'm not sure we can do it. I know for sure we can't change anything that's happening in the external world. We can only change our response to it. Mm-hmm. And it always brings me back. I've been thinking a lot about Viktor Frankl and Man's Search for Meaning. And I know we talked about that on the show before, that idea that we can't change anything out there. And Viktor Frankl was in a concentration camp. And for him to write words like that from a concentration camp just changed my life forever. So I was thinking about him lately, like, we can't change the external world, but we can change our response to it. So we have to arm ourselves with a tool. So the first thing is giving yourself time to get places.
That's a big one for you.
It's huge. And I do practice this. This is one of my most successful practices that I have because I know what it does to me.
I know what it does to you when you feel like you're short on time. I witness this often.
Yeah. And we don't know how that happened to me. You know, I don't know what happened as a child or whatever that made me feel like, oh my gosh, I can't be late, or oh my gosh, I've got to get there, or I have to do this, or I have to do that right now. But I do know that when I give myself the space and the time to get places, even if you just give yourself 5 minutes, like give, some people say to me, Barb, you can't pack in an extra hour. So pack in an extra 5 minutes. I'm telling you, it changes everything. It makes such a huge difference. So that's the first thing. It regulates my nervous. It really gives me a breathing space for my nervous system. And I think the second thing would be, don't take things personally. Really try hard. You know, if someone does something to you or says something to you, instead of snapping back, and it doesn't mean to be a doormat. It doesn't mean to be a doormat, just not letting it affect you in a way that then you respond in the same way that they've responded to you, that this is their issue, not yours, and keep on walking.
Yeah.
Or hold your peace. And I know, Michelle, one of the books that you and I love so much about not taking things personally. And this is a recommendation. If this is a thing for you and you think that this could help you, is Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. It's his first agreement. You know, do not take things personally. And I know you and I've talked about this forever, that it has truly changed our lives about how do you actually not take something personally because it feels so personal. But in these times, it's so important to understand that we're kind of all the same in many ways. We're not all the same in our beliefs. We're not all the same in the way we live our lives, but we are all in the same that we kind of live in this fight or flight situation right now. It just feels that way, that's the energy that I feel in the space that we're living in. So remembering not to take things personally allows you the space for your response in difficult situations. Okay, wait a minute. This is about them. Do I want to waste my energy here? Let me just keep on moving. And that is not when you're feeling threatened or when you're in a very dangerous or somewhat awkward, really awful situation. It just means most of the time, you know, most of the things that we endure, most of the things that we feel very egregious to us really aren't about us. And we really could just keep on walking because they're not that important. And then we have the energy and the space for the things that are important.
Yeah.
I said a lot there.
You did.
I know, because it's so important to me. I really thought a lot about this idea. How do we handle the difficult people?
I can tell.
You know, I'm sure I can be a difficult person at times. So the first thing is no judgment. No judgment about difficult people.
You know, this with lots of love, but people ask us all the time how we got to being this mother-daughter duo that works together and sometimes lives together. And we're good, but we get at odds.
Sure.
We're human. Bump heads.
And I think if you can remember that, we're human beings. We are human beings living a human experience, but we need to thread into that human experience some really amazing self-care practices. You can call it the spirituality of it. You can call it the depth or the inner knowing within. It's just so important that we understand that we have to have ways of dealing with our emotions. We can't just let our emotions run amok or run wild. And for me, my emotions get out of control when I don't have enough time, or I think I've been so anxious about time, or when I start taking things personally that aren't about me, or I start having judgments about other people. Because here's the thing, we're already suffering, right? A lot of us, we're already suffering in our way to varying degrees. So why do we want to keep on adding on to it and piling on to the suffering that we're already feeling? And I think it's our responsibility to be able to use these tips and tools that we can learn to regulate the nervous system so that we aren't suffering to the degree that we're really out of control. Because isn't that the whole point? We don't like being out of control.
Yeah, some of us more than others, I think.
And there's so much out there that we're out of control about. It feels like it's more immense than ever before because of all of the crises.
Well, like you say very often, you can't control anything in the external world, but you can control...
Yeah.
Manage your reactions and responses to it, which is the whole crux of this episode of you know, dealing with difficult people. You know, I think of that meme that I see often on social media. It's like, don't let their energy change yours. Don't let the energy that someone brings to a situation or to an interaction pull you into theirs and mirror theirs. You know, if someone snaps at you or invites you into a disagreement, like, you don't have to show up for it. You don't have to match that energy. And that's been a big tool for me during these times where, you know, and that's where the space piece comes too. There's, yeah, space and time, but also, like we've talked about in other episodes, taking the pause before responding to something that you feel triggered to. That has helped me immensely in so many instances, in personal and professional and just everyday life, where so many times I have the instinct to say the really snarky, biting thing that I want to say in an email, or, you know, honk at someone extra hard on the road for being obnoxious, any of those things. And yeah, sometimes it would feel really good to do it. But I know that oftentimes having those knee-jerk reactions or heightened emotional responses in an already heightened emotional situation makes the situation worse. It puts you and the other person into a more, you know, dangerous, testy situation. It's not really solving anything. It's really just your emotional output. And so I love to take the space and like do what I need to do to feel the feelings about the trigger that I'm feeling and have space to think about what I actually want to say or do in response to someone's uncomfortable behavior. And that brings me a lot of peace, especially in these days where I feel more in control of my emotions and what I'm saying and what I'm doing, to the point where I can feel confident in my actions and not feel like I have to be embarrassed or afraid. It's like a confidence boost as well.
I love that, Michelle. Because we all know, and I think all of us listening to this, you're probably not listening to our podcast if you're not feeling this way. When we voice our dislike or anger or frustration or impatience or rudeness through these passive aggressive comments or ways that we tend to feel like, oh my gosh, I want to give it back to them, we know that we don't feel good about that later. I know that I don't, and I'm imagining a lot of you listening don't either. So it's expressing your frustrations in that way doesn't harm the other person at all, because they're like, this has nothing to do with me. This is your problem, ma'am. And it usually takes, as you said, it takes our energy or it takes our emotions. And so the idea of our true power lies, we continue to suffer. So that's the third tool thing. Like, how can we mitigate our suffering? How can we actually not pile on and add to our suffering? And if we have an emotional reaction to everything that's said to us or everything that's done to us or everything that happens, think about that just for a minute. We really aren't living our lives. We are just being like that pinball machine, being battered around by everything that's happening in the external world. And we aren't really able, like you said, to gain the confidence or to have our footing. And I believe our true power lies in being able to, okay, let me observe what's happening here. Do I really need to beat my horn because they haven't gone and the light turned green? It's just really interesting that we can actually take a breath. So that's the other takeaway or the other tip, like, use your breath. If you want to say something, stop just for a second and just take a few deep breaths. It's so powerful. That is our true power for restraint. That is our true power for controlling ourselves, which is the only thing that we have control over. And we remove all of the things in the external world that is having the power over us. Remove that power and you take your power back in whatever it is that you can control. You know, not allowing other people to dictate their actions and their words and taking them on and absorbing their energy. And it's not easy. Nothing that we're talking about ever on this show is easy, actually. But it is such a worthwhile journey to to embark on, because we actually then are living our lives. We actually are calming our nervous systems. We're actually accomplishing in life what it is we want to accomplish, despite the external world being so full of tragedy and trauma, no matter what era that you're living in. Let me share a little story with you for just for a second, if you'll indulge me, because I think
love
it's
a story.
Well, I think it's what you just talked about, Michelle, and it's kind of a visual that has helped me a lot. It's helped me handle other people's moods, like what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so this is a tip.
Can I just say something really quickly?
Sure.
It's really hard to handle other people's moods, especially when people are moody. I know you're looking at me like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir, because I have known to be moody. And you've had to handle me, but I think this will be really helpful, because people's moods switch like that. And it's just like, what just happened? And it's so common. So thank you. Go ahead.
No, I love that you said that just for a second, because yes. So what's the first tip then first two tips I talked about? Not taking it personally. If your mood changes, has nothing to do with me. Well, it could have something to do with me if I said something to you, but it's your responsibility to how you respond. See, that's what that means, not taking anything personally. I can say something that maybe is derogatory or that maybe could trigger you, but it's your responsibility then not to be triggered by what I'm saying, because it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me saying something about you. It's very tricky and very complicated, but it's so profound. So anyway, this is one of the first tips that I learned in therapy. And it might sound a little bit strange at first. I'll buy that, but hear me out. It's really great. It's helped me so much, because I'm a very, very visual person. So if you're a visual person, I think this will help you.
This is true.
Think of yourself as a tube when you're around other people. So imagine a cylinder tube, and let their emotions flow through you. Just think of yourself as a tube, and their emotions are just kind of going around that tube and flowing through you, possibly creating some empathy or some space. I think for me, sometimes empathy is a little bit of space and a little bit of, okay, now I'm not agitated. I can actually have the space. Creating some empathy, and then let it flow back out, because it's not yours to carry. It's not your job to carry their emotions. So that visual is they're having their emotions. You're thinking of yourself as this tube, and this emotion is coming in. You can't stop them from coming into you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fact. I just know, we feel the energy around us. We are human beings. And letting that energy, letting that flow around you, letting those emotions flow around you, and just this taking that space, because you're visualizing this, so you're taking this space so it can possibly create the empathy, and then just let it flow right out. Visualize all that energy, that negativity or that anger or the frustration that is being thrown at you, or the world that you feel is being thrown at you, and letting it just go right through, because it's not your job to carry other people's stuff. And if you're an empath, which you are, Michelle, and maybe that's what causes you to be a little bit moody, who knows?
Yeah.
If you're an empath, it's easy to absorb other people's moods.
Hey, friends. Health, wellness, and aging are all things that we think about all the time. But did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True test, you can discover your biological age, plus get insights into the things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age test, my mom did too, and we're super excited to see what it reveals about our health, our wellness, if we really are as young as we think we are or as healthy as we think we are. We're so excited for those results. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether that's exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's all about taking those actionable steps to improve your well-being, which, as you know, are so important to the both of us. True Age Test is the same technology that's used and trusted by leading doctors, researchers, and health experts around the world. So think about it. What would it be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body? True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. So, ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I would say that I have a lot of empathy and I have compassion and I have a lot of energy toward loving kindness and wanting to be in a space of that. I don't know for sure if I'm an empath in some situations, maybe, but I know for sure I'm going to feel it. And I know you for so long you are. So it's important to remind yourself that having the boundaries in situations like this, knowing that their energy is not yours to carry and letting it flow through you, so that you can reset yourself and say, oh, glad that's gone. Now I can get going, instead of carrying it and saying, oh, and talking about it and judging it. And what did I do wrong? What did they say to me? Like, we write so many stories about these emotional things that happen in our lives, when most of the times, if we just let them come in, feel it, have the empathy or have the ability to just let it flow through us and then recenter. See, all of that little rest of not responding is helping you to recenter and then move on. It's not your job to control and manage other people's moods. And I think there's a saying that I've seen on social media too, allowing people to have their moods. Like, I let you have your mood and usually I'll go about my day.
Yeah, because it has nothing to do with you.
It has nothing to do with me. And you usually don't stay in that mood for very long. Or if you do, then I go off and have my whole day and come back later. It's so interesting. And allow those moods not to have anything to do with you. So that's the not taking it personally. So I hope that helps a little bit. The next time you start taking on someone else's energy, like, this little tool is important. You could just kind of visualize yourself as a tube and letting those emotions just go right through you. Let them flow. Yeah, think of a water faucet or a hose. That was one of the things I thought of when my therapist first said, a hose. So their moods or their energy or their negativity is coming into me like water flowing through a tube. And instead of stopping the water, like, you know, you take the hose and you crank it so the water stops flowing. Don't let it stop. Let it keep going. Let that water keep flowing through you until it's gone.
I like it.
So I hope that helps.
If nothing else, just think of my mom telling you to be a tube. And if nothing else, it'll probably make you laugh.
True.
So that helps.
Well, and that's the space. You know, we always say before you respond, take
a tube.
It's the pause that we need. I think another tip for the toolkit, we don't pause enough. And this was one of the things I really wanted to talk about that's helped me so much, not only giving myself space and more time to get places, but allowing myself to have a transition. You know, I started the show by saying that January is my transition into the new year, because I feel like we come off of December. And I also have said this on the show, we come off of December and we live in an area here in South Florida that this is high tourist season now. You know, we're not going into the winter hibernation that a lot of the country or a lot of the world might be in. We are in full on tourist season. So we are on the minute the holidays are over, even before the holidays even begin. So it's kind of, we need a transition time. So find a way to squeeze in a couple of minutes before you go to your next thing or meeting or task, you know, or event or whatever it is. Find a couple of minutes to just pause and breathe just for 2 minutes. It has helped me so much. Or if I'm sitting at a stoplight and I'm feeling some of the energy get to me, I literally will just, the whole stoplight, I'll breathe. I will use my breath not to focus on judging the thoughts that are coming into my mind. So I let the thoughts that are coming into mind be like a tube, be going through the tube, going out the other side. Because the minute we get hooked into the thoughts that are writing a story about how terrible the world is or about how hard it is for us to to manage getting ourselves a cup of coffee or driving across the train tracks when the train is stopped for a few minutes. It's like all those things affect us and we don't have any control over it. So let those just flow right through you. And the breath is a huge regulator for that.
Yeah, for
sure. It's a huge interceptor. I like the breath as an interceptor of the stories that we might write in our head or the negative thoughts that we might have or the keeps us from piling onto the suffering that we might already be feeling.
Yeah, and I think a piece that you just mentioned is that's crucial at this moment in time is the storytelling that we tell ourselves. If someone is snarky with us or cuts us off or does something rude or even just like, you know, how people act or say things on social media, if we don't agree with it, it's like we automatically write stories about those people. Oh, they must be this, this, and this, or they must do this, or be like this in their personal lives, or, you know, all that stuff. And it's an unnecessary use of our energy. It tends to amp us up even more. It amps me up even more. Like I can write a whole story about someone who, you know, cut me in line at the grocery store and why I think he did that and all this stuff. Whether the stories are true or not, I don't feel any better in doing so. And I think, again, especially in these times that we're living in, like we already know what's true about our current state of reality. And so I feel like this conversation and this episode and kind of like the survival tactics of this year are just like kind of what you were saying, Mom. We don't need to compound or add to our suffering. We're already suffering. And so I feel like telling ourselves these stories are perpetuating a situation longer than it needs to be. Like, you know, someone's rude to you on the street and you spend the next 5 miles thinking about them, writing a story. The situation's over. Yeah, it was unpleasant. Maybe it startled you, got you worked up, but you don't have to add on to your suffering by taking that moment into your present moment. And so releasing the need to write stories about people that push our buttons and also remembering to live in the present moment. Like chances are we're going to have triggering moments throughout the day with difficult people. It might not just be one. And so how can we be resilient and clear-minded enough to like feel the feelings when something happens? And then of course, bring ourselves back to the present moment of whatever is happening so that we're not ruminating on those triggering moments all the time.
I love that, Michelle. You just brought us to one of the other tips in our toolkit is that we talk about boundaries all the time. And I think people have heard about boundaries so much over the past few years. And so definitely, it not only is it okay for you to set boundaries and say no when you need to, it's crucial. And I think we all kind of know that now. So being really vigilant about setting the boundaries in places where you know that you're going to be triggered or where you know that you just don't want to be, if it's a person or a place or a thing or whatever it is. But also what you just said, Michelle, setting a boundary with yourself as well. When you start to, I think that's what's so beautiful about what you said. When you know yourself well enough, so know your limits. You know, you said you can spend a long time writing a story.
I can be pretty creative about these things, yeah, if I want to be.
And so the most important thing about that is have a boundary. And when you start to remind yourself that, wait a minute, I'm writing a story right now. So know yourself well enough to know your limits and know that you need to set a boundary with yourself. This story is taking away my present moment. This story is taking away my energy and my ability to be resilient when I need to be in the life that I'm living right now. So it's so important to making sure that you know yourself well enough and set that boundary for yourself, but always, always, always making sure that you're taking good care of yourself. This is a huge act of self-care, setting a boundary in the kindest way possible for yourself and for others when you have to. And I think the thing that I've noticed too is, you know, sometimes when we're so worn out or we feel like we're constantly in a battlefield sometimes out there with life, it's so important to understand that you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. And I've really been taking that on. I've really not been, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm writing a whole story even about that. I don't have to rationalize why I can't do something. I don't have to, if I've got a feeling about a situation that I'm not comfortable with, I don't have to explain it to anyone. All I need to say is, you know what? I'm just not comfortable doing that right now. Have a great time. I'll see you tomorrow. Like, I'm trying to use as few words as possible and stop trying to explain myself. I feel like that does get us into trouble sometimes. It wears us out. And for me, it makes me even a little bit more impatient and stressed. I don't know why, but because there's a part of me that's like, Barbara, why are you doing this? I kind of beat myself up a little bit. Why are you doing this? Just say, you know, not comfortable doing that. I can't, or I don't want to, or I hope you have a wonderful time. So understanding that you don't have to explain yourself, you know, just always try to be the most kind, you know, the most kind person you can be in the moment possible and move on. I mean, I'm really, that whole move on, keep on walking, move on is so practical because every moment is changing. And so don't just hover in one moment, rehashing everything and trying to figure out what you're going to do. Just try to really take a space for a moment, make a response and then move on.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. And I think too, I feel very vulnerable lately. And I have a lot of trust issues. We should have do an episode on trust.
Oof, that would be a marathon of an episode, I fear.
I have a lot of trust issues, you know, from my childhood. And I don't know if there's enough therapy to get me past all the trust issues. And so I have to really be vigilant about practicing my discernment when I'm vulnerable. Because I don't want to close my heart off. I don't want to close myself down, even though things seem so, you know, difficult out there. And even though I feel like trying to manage difficult people or manage difficult situations, I don't want to be rigid. I don't want to be tight. I don't want to close my heart down because I love life. I love myself. I love people. I love the work that we do. So I don't want to be out of alignment with my work and close myself down. But I've really been practicing a lot of discernment with my vulnerability. And
that's
not
important.
Yeah, not getting into details about things that I don't need to get into details about with any random person. You know, really, you know, Brené Brown says it best, you know, don't share personal details with people that haven't earned your trust. And, you know, you can be vulnerable, but always have a marker like, okay, is this a person that I can trust? Do I really want to explain myself or do I really want to get into any details here? And keep conversations light and easy. You know, I feel life is heavy right now. So I'm trying to be as light and easy as I possibly can with myself and with most of the people that I'm around so that I can have the fortitude and the ability to be light and easy when it's starting to get really dark and heavy. And that means keeping most conversations light. And I know I've talked about this on the show before. My best friend who passed away, you know, quite a few years ago at a very young age, she used to say, Barb, let's keep it easy breezy. Let's keep it easy breezy. And easy breezy has been kind of like a mantra for me lately. Barb, do you really need to get into the thick of this just because your coffee didn't come in the time that you met? I use that a lot because I don't know what other example to use. Or I'm at the post office the other day and the line was around the block. You know, just all those situations, grocery store, there are all those little situations which, you know, these are the ordinary situations that we're in our lives that sometimes can be extraordinarily difficult or extraordinarily easy breezy. And so those kind of situations where I have to stand in line at a grocery store is easy breezy. Come on. Of course, we're going to have to stand in line. Of course, we're going to have to wait for things. Of course, we're going to have to really be resilient in our patience. So being careful, I think, and being vigilant and having discernment about who you share personal things with or details with or any of the things like that, it's not necessary.
Yeah. I just wrote about that or was editing part of my book that talks about that. So it's fresh in my brain, but it is true. I think sometimes we crave human connection and shared lived experiences and the vulnerability that comes with that. That leads us to maybe oversharing, like you said, Mom, like Brené Brown says, when the trust hasn't been earned. And then we get ourselves into a situation where people are reckless with, you know, your intimate or vulnerable truths. And that again, you know, compounds our suffering, adds more stress and anxiety to our lives. And so I really love the piece and the tool of discernment of just being not hypervigilant, because I don't want to say that we need to be like on guard, but it's just being mindful and discerning of what we share, how we share it, what we say, how we say it, and what we do and how we do it. Because I think that this time that we're living in asks of it. It asks of us to be a little bit more discerning and to take the space before we respond and react, to not make things worse. And you know, that's not the most glamorous or comforting thing to say. You know, it's not the solution to everything. But I think if you think about preservation, self-preservation, filling up your own cup, the self-care tools, that really is at the top of the list for me right now. And of course, you know, the 1% rule that we talk about so much, of weaving in 1% of mindfulness into our days. I do think there is such a huge value in connecting with and checking in with yourself on a daily basis, especially when times are really tough or people and circumstances are really challenging on the external world.
Well, imagine it, Michelle, if you literally just did weave a minute here of breathing. You know, it's, that's what we're talking about in this whole show right now. How can we start to learn how to weave in some of these things? We can't just keep going. We can't just put the foot on the gas when we wake up in the morning and take the foot off the gas when we go to bed at night. It's not possible. I don't believe it's possible as humans to go nonstop like that for all the day, all the hours in a waking day, and not feel drained, not feel exhausted, not feel exasperated, not feel impatient, not feel stressed, not feel, as you said, not confident and lacking in resilience. All of the things that we need to live our lives to the best that we can every single day. So I think all the things that we're sharing today are just, and it's a lot. I was just hoping, Michelle, that you could help us recap all the things that we just talked about, so we can leave we can leave all of you listening with at least a list of these things as we just went through them all. Because you don't have to do them all. If you just did one, that's why I love what you just said, Michelle, that 1% rule. There was a study that was done that if you spend 1,440 minutes or in a day, and if you spend 1%, 14 minutes a day weaving, a minute here, just pause, a minute there, pause, a minute here, pause. If you wove that through, if you wove those minutes here, am I saying that? Is that grammar right?
Weave?
If you start to weave a minute here and a minute there all day long, you will start to realize that you're giving yourself the vital necessary rest for just that minute that the mind and the body needs, because you start to bring the mind and the body connection. It takes you out. I've been really thinking about this a lot too lately. It takes you out of that fight or flight mode. Do I have to fight with someone or I have to run away from someone? How about I just be here and know that I'm good. I don't need to get involved in this conversation. Thank you. You know, or I'm going to take this space and I'm going to go take a bathroom break and breathe for a minute. You know, just all these things that we can do that we don't have to fight every moment of every day, and we don't have to run away from every moment of every day. We actually can find the middle path. There is a middle space if we can just start to really, really, really take extraordinary care of ourselves and put our self-care, meaning, as you just said, Michelle, our resilience, our peace, and by peace we mean power, our ability to discern, what do I need to do in this moment? If we really start to put that as the number one priority in our lives, everything would change.
Yeah.
Literally, everything would change in life. It would change the entire expression of the way that you show up in your day.
Yeah, I agree.
So, should we go through the toolkit?
Sure. Do you want me to take us through it?
Take us through it.
Do you have it stored in your toolkit brain?
I think you have a really phenomenal toolkit brain. You have a really good, I love your brain.
Thank you. Yeah. You gave it to me.
Well, no. Yeah. You've been working on it now for almost 39 years. You've been doing all the practices and all the things that you need to do. I'll just start with the one thing that I think is very, I don't think most of us think about it. And it's the first thing that I started the show with. I think it's very underrated. I think it needs to be one of the top self-care things we do, and that's giving ourselves space.
Yeah.
Giving ourselves a cushion. If you want to call it a cushion.
Literal and figurative space. Yeah.
Give yourself space. Stop trying to cram everything in and not give yourself 1 minute to breathe and 1 minute to just give yourself a transition time. Giving yourself space, giving yourself extra time to get to where it is you need to go. It's everything. And that space is exactly what will, I believe, what it's done for me has taken me out of the fight or flight energy, feeling, mood, and put me into a space of, you know, sometimes it doesn't get to the equanimity, but it certainly gets to a place of, okay, now what action can I take now? And you said it earlier, Michelle, it gives me confidence.
Yeah.
It gives me that, you know, you see those memes, you got this. It's hard to feel like you got this when life is crumbling around you, but taking that little space gives me that ability of saying to myself, okay, Barb, you got this. You can go in for another round.
Yeah, it's true. The figurative space, space in your schedule, space with your time, space with your response, space is so crucial right now.
Yeah.
And prioritizing it.
Yes.
Like you started not taking things personally, yes. Which is so, so hard, especially right now.
Number two.
So much feels personal. And, you know, it might be personal, but how can you not let it define you or take over your emotional state or change your mood? You know, people are doing things that are cruel or saying things that are unkind. And, you know, there's no explanation for that. But try super hard to not let it infiltrate your psyche or your emotional state. And it's really hard to do. It's really hard to even try and contextualize or explain this. I do really enjoy Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements, and how he talks about not taking things personally. So if you haven't read that yet and you're struggling with that, give it a go. It might be helpful.
And think of the visual as a tube, letting the emotions of other people or letting the things that are happening around you not be about you and letting it just flow through that.
Yep.
That hose like a water going out of
that hose like a water.
That hose that didn't make sense at all. Sorry.
That I love hose. That you guys can sometimes see how her brain works. Sometimes.
Think of the hose as being a tube and you're that hose and the emotions and are the water going through the hose and coming out the other end. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with the other person or the environment or the energy out there.
Yeah.
Don't take on their moods.
Yeah.
What is that? You know, don't you know, let other people's moods, let them keep their mood and don't, you, it's not your place to carry it.
Right. You know, try not to write stories about why people are the way that they are. Even question to yourself of the why. We don't know the why. We can't ever know everyone's full story. So remember to stay present and release the need to carry these momentary situations for longer than they need to be. You know, try and cut the suffering in the moment and move on. Feel the feelings, of course, but don't perpetuate, you know, those painful moments or those unpleasant interactions with people.
Understand your needs and know your boundaries.
You know, the boundaries, they really are the name of the game, especially these days. Think about what you need. Think about how you can communicate it. Or put them into place. You don't have to be sorry for the boundaries that you set. You just have to set them, you know, kindly and not hurt someone else in doing so. But it is, you know, the ultimate act of self-care and self-preservation during these times. So just keep asking yourself what you need. How can you best care for yourself day in and day out? And it might look different each day. You know, some days I'm like, I'm not going where the people are. Like I'm an anti-Ariel who just wanted to be where the people are. Sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to be where anybody is. And some days I'm like, yeah, I need to be out and about. Each day is different.
And that's what I love about you, Michelle. You really do know your limits. So that's another tool that we're talking about, knowing your limits, knowing yourself enough to know your limits and, you know, giving yourself that space. And you talked about, you know, communicating your boundaries and healthy communication, I believe, is such an act of self-care and love. You know, when we can do that, when we really know what we need and we can set the boundary, we can communicate it. It's this all hard stuff. I'm making this sound easy and none of this is easy, as I said earlier, but it really is necessary. Then you can actually start to go through life a little bit, you know, with a sense of ease, I guess. I think more of an ease.
Easeful mindset.
Yeah. And be a little bit more present.
Yeah. I love it.
Practicing discernment about your
yes,
vulnerability.
Discernment. Almost forgot.
Yeah. Don't share with people that haven't earned your trust.
Yep.
Don't get into, because for me, if I do that, I get so bogged down with it. It's really hard for me to let go of it. It takes me a long time to let go of it. So just remember that. Ask yourself before you say anything, is this person earned my trust? If you're about to say something really personal or private, and keep conversations light and airy and easy breezy. You know, sometimes easy things breezy. Are pretty heavy out there. So just really practicing that discernment. And taking good care of yourself.
Yeah. I love it. Thanks, Mom, for sharing your toolkit with us.
Did we forget anything?
I don't think so.
Did we get it all? Okay.
Well, you feel complete?
It felt like it was longer than that, but that's good.
Is the toolkit full?
The toolkit's full. The last thing I might leave you all with is, you know, that thing that one of my favorite teachers, James Finley, always says, no one has the power to name who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So stand in your integrity, stand in knowing who you are, and don't allow the external world, or don't feel like you have to rationalize your own feelings. Don't feel like you rationalize things that you feel or want or do in your life. You know, always, you know, never at the harm of other beings, but just knowing that you matter and that your feelings matter and your emotions matter. And how can I actually move through this life without taking in all the stuff of other people? Cause I got enough stuff myself, and really knowing that I deserve to be here and that I do matter. So I don't really need to explain myself to anyone. If you choose to, and you want to, and they've earned it all, do it, but don't do it because you feel like you have to. Or, you know, that you have to show your worth in that way. Or I think sometimes our egos get the better of us and we feel like we have to stand up for ourselves in that way so that we can be seen or we can be known. Be seen and be known by the person that you are, knowing that the external world doesn't have the power to name who you are. That's your birthright.
Yep.
And
I
so
love that.
Really, you know, walk in your own integrity and your own love and your own care and take extraordinary care of yourself. You matter. And we love you very much.
Yes. Thanks, Mom, for that final piece. It's really helpful and important. And yeah, we love you all.
I hope this brought you a sense of, I feel like.
Yeah, you have a definite.
Big smile on my face.
Uptick in energy.
Yeah. And
you don't even actually sound raspy.
I feel a lot of joy right now.
We started. Have we healed you in this conversation?
Well, no, I think being in community like this and sharing the tools that we're all. What is that? We're all fighting a battle that no one really knows what it is, or however that quote goes. Like, we all have our things. And so just being in community with all of you and sharing all of these things with all of you and caring so deeply for all of you matters. And so you matter. And I love you all.
Yeah. I love you, Mom. And thank you always for sharing. And we have some fun things to share with you all. We've mentioned this before, but we're hosting our first in-person retreat this May in 2025 at Omega, the beautiful retreat venue in upstate New York. It'll be called Real Life, Real Talk, a transformational three-day workshop in partnership with the Omega Institute, where we're going to be kind of deep diving into all of these topics that we talk about on the show with some practical tools, community, amazing things. And we hope that
fun.
And fun, of course. And we hope that you'll join us. There's a link in our show notes for more information about Omega, about the program, registration, et cetera, et cetera. We hope to see some of you there. It's going to be really fun. We're really, really excited. So check it out. And of course, thank you so much again for listening to the show and being part of this fabulous, supportive community. We're so grateful for you all. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. We're so grateful and appreciative when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or have a future podcast topic request, follow us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the easiest and best way to stay in touch with us. And lastly, check out the links in our show notes for our Substacks that have lots of other fun information and updates and things like that. Lots of fun stuff going on over there. And that should do it. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we'll chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.